Hi, this is Pastor Harry from Harvest Family Fellowship in Liberty, Pennsylvania. Welcome to our sermon podcast. I'm very glad that you've joined us, and I hope that the message today is a huge blessing. I encourage you to check out our website at harvestfamilyfellowship.com, where you can find out more information about our church along with our events calendar. If you so choose to help us out financially, you'll also find a link where you can make an online donation.
Well, hello to everyone out there on Facebook Live. Hello, Lily, Judith, and Sarah at home. If they're watching, they might be taking a nap. I have an announcement, as Harry said. What I wanted to do is to start on every Friday evening about 8 o'clock doing a Facebook Live broadcast from my home and just giving a short teaching and just another thing to offer folks throughout the week, you know. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, sometimes Wednesday to Sunday is a long time to be away from God's teaching. You know, I can read the Bible, but it's nice sometimes to hear somebody explain it in depth to me or explain things that maybe I didn't understand. And so I just wanted to offer another way for people to get into the Word. And what I'm going to start doing is doing a series on debunking some myths that surround Christianity. We're going to, you know, this coming Friday, we're going to start with the myth that my sin is too great and God is too mad at me for me to be saved or accepted into the kingdom of God. We're going to debunk that because that is absolutely 100% false. Your sin is never too great and God is not mad at you. And so this morning, though, we're going to continue in a sermon series that we've been in, Life According to Jesus. Just let me get my Chromebook here. Get my sermon notes so I know what I'm talking about. We are in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 this morning. I'm reading from the New International Version, if you all want to follow along at home, if you have your Bibles. If not, I believe Harry's going to have that up on the Facebook Live screen. It says in Matthew 6, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So before we dig into that scripture a little deeper, I want to talk about what are some of the things that oftentimes motivate us. What are the things that sometimes motivate us to give to others that are in need? Sometimes in life we are motivated by obligation. You know, perhaps we feel socially obligated to give in our community, to contribute something to our community. Maybe even it's our church that we feel obligated to give to. Or even in our own families, they can make us feel like we must give something or do something. Another reason that we are motivated to give is a sense of accomplishment or a contribution to society. Maybe when we give, it makes us feel like we're part of something. And therefore, it makes us feel good about ourselves. And that's okay, right? It's okay to feel good. Perhaps it even makes us feel more human to give to other people. I find that to be true. When I give to other people that are in need, I feel connected to humanity much more. Sometimes what motivates us is some self-seeking purposes. And what I mean by that is sometimes we give so that we can get something, right? Sometimes when we give, it's because we want something in return. We want maybe somebody else to do something for us. Maybe we want people to take notice of us so that they'll think that, you know, we're a better person than maybe we actually are. Or maybe we want to gain favor with someone or a group of someone's. You know, maybe we're trying to, as the saying goes, earn brownie points, so that in the future when we need some brownie points, we can call upon those things. But the reason or the motivation that I want to talk about this morning for us to give is, do we give simply to please God? See, when we're giving to please God, this is when we're giving for the right reason. Because, you see, we've realized that we're loved by God, and we love Him, and therefore we want to bless other people. It's a natural outpouring of the love that we have received from our Savior. And this morning I want us to take a look at what Jesus had to say about giving and see where we're getting it right and maybe where we're getting it wrong and we need to learn something or change something. And so let's just dig into this scripture a little bit deeper and see what Jesus is saying here about giving. In Matthew 6:1, I'll read it again. It says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Okay? And so the gist of this verse here is, do your giving in secret. And what does Jesus mean by that? What is he saying when he says not to practice your righteousness in front of others? What I think he's saying is, don't make it obvious to others that you're giving. You know, we don't need to flaunt our giving to other people. Or, you know, kind of like, hey, look what I did. I'm awesome. You know, we don't need to do that. There's a verse in Matthew 5:16 that says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And we say, well, Pastor Mike, that sounds like we're supposed to do our giving so people can see it, right? You know, on the surface, that verse seems very much in contrast with our text for today, but it's really not. I want to explain the difference here that, you know, this happens a lot in Scripture. You know, Jesus will say one thing and he'll say something else later on that seems to contradict what he said before. But see, what he's really saying in Matthew 5:16 is that our giving can be seen by others. Okay, it's not, you know, when he says to do your giving in secret, he's not saying that nobody should ever see what we do. Our giving can be seen by others, and I think, in fact, it's impossible in our society to keep people from seeing what we're doing at times. But what's important is when we're doing our giving, when we're meeting the needs of people that are poor and hungry and sick, we need to make sure that what is being seen is not what I'm doing, but what God is doing through me, if that makes sense. You know, in other words, it's okay if people see us doing good things if our aim is to glorify God and draw attention to Him and not ourselves. Okay, that it's perfectly fine if they see it happen. We just need to make sure that what they see is not Pastor Mike or Pastor Harry or Miss Brenda or Miss Sarah, and what they see is God. And so when the writer of Matthew says that we should do our giving in secret, he isn't saying we should go out of our way to hide our giving, though certainly if we can do it anonymously, we should. You know, anytime you can do something for someone else and not take the credit is a good day in my book. You know, if I can bless somebody and just kind of hang back in the shadows and see them be blessed and not have to take credit, that makes me feel good. And I know that it makes God feel good. So if we can do it anonymously, you know, that's fine. But as I said, in our society, it's hard. It's very hard to do anything without somebody seeing it. But what he is saying, what the writer of Matthew is saying, is that our giving should be motivated by and directed towards pleasing and glorifying God. That should be our whole motivation. When we give something to somebody that needs food or shelter or clothing or medicine or whatever, it should be with the attitude of, I'm doing this to please God. I'm doing this for Him. I'm not doing this to make me look like I'm a saint. I'm not doing this to curry favor with somebody so that later on I can ask them a favor. I'm doing it simply to make God happy. We'll move on to our second point this morning, which is don't be a hypocrite. Okay? Actually, I'm going to skip down in my notes and talk about a hypocrite first because it just makes more sense to me this morning to do that. A hypocrite in the Greek here means a play actor, okay? That's what the Greek word means. What the writer of Matthew is essentially saying is that when we're giving, we shouldn't be some actor in a play, just acting out a part, you know? When we give, we should be responding to Jesus' love for us with love for others, rather than putting on an act to look religious, right? Sometimes we do that as Christians. We do things so that people will see what we're doing and think we're religious. And so the writer of Matthew is saying, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be an actor. Be real. You know, don't make a big show of what you're doing, right? A lot of times, especially in our movie culture here in America, we have lots of big special effects and stunts and all kinds of crazy awesome stuff that I love in a movie. But that stuff shouldn't be present in our giving to others. We shouldn't need, you know, a big stunt or a big special effect to be effective in giving to other people in need. So don't make a spectacle of it to be seen by others, you know, trying to impress them. Because here's the thing, and this is important. Jesus said in this verse, he said, so when, you can underline when in your Bible, I would suggest it, when you give to the needy, okay? Jesus said when you give, not if. You know, Jesus isn't saying that if we feel like it, we should give. He's implying that we should be giving to others. So, if we should be giving to others, it should be this natural outpouring of our faith, right? It should be a natural thing, not a forced thing, not an act that we put on. It should just be something we do because we love Jesus. And so the next logical step after I love Jesus is I'm going to love people. I'm going to bless people. Okay? So don't be an actor. Don't be a hypocrite. You know, make your giving absolutely genuine. The point there in that verse is that if we truly love Jesus, as we say we do, then we'll be genuine with people, not fake, being the same person in private as we are in public. Imagine that. You know, it's my hope that as I walk with Jesus more and more, that the person I am in secret and the person I am in public start to become the same person more and more every day. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, that's not the case. You know, it's never the case 100% of the time. But I think that at the end of our lives that maybe it can be. Moving on to the third point this morning, I have give in secret, again, to an audience of one. You know, let me just read Matthew 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4, excuse me, of Matthew 6. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Okay. Let me just back up and talk about something in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. It says, when you fast, okay, this is a little bit later on, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about fasting, but he says, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Okay? And so let me just talk about the Pharisees for just a minute. It'll make this scripture make a lot more sense. See, the Pharisees had this habit of when they did religious things, they wanted to make a show of it. They wanted people to pay attention. They wanted people to see them doing their good deeds, you know. Fasting was an excellent example. They would make themselves look just as awful as possible so people knew that they were going without food, that they were hungry, and they were doing something for the Lord. But I'm here to tell you this morning, friends, if your aim is to get sympathy or attention or praise or adoration from other people for your good deeds, you're not doing it for the Lord. They weren't either. They were doing it for the attention that it brought them. You know, people would say, "Oh, look at those poor Pharisees. They're hungry. They're going without food. Isn't that nice?" And so we go back to our scripture here in Matthew 6, 3, and 4. You know, it's the same thing with our giving. You know, if our goal in giving is to glorify ourselves, that's just wrong. You know, we should be trying to glorify God. There's some figurative language here that I just want to explain that is maybe misunderstood. Sometimes people read the Bible so literally that they miss, you know, what's really being said. Jesus is not really saying that I should make sure that my left hand's over here and it can't see what my right hand is doing over here. He's not being literal. He's using figurative language to emphasize the simple importance of not drawing attention to what we're doing. You know, we should be so consumed with doing what God wants us to do for other people that we're not worried about what other folks think of us. Good or bad, we're not worried about it. All we're worried about is doing what Jesus has asked us to do, which is to feed the poor, or feed the hungry, clothe the poor, you know, and make disciples. You know, he's asked us to do those things. And so what Jesus is saying with this figurative language is just simply be so busy about your work that you don't even have time to think about, do people like me? Do people think I'm doing something good? We shouldn't be worried about that. It's not important if people like us. It's not important if people think we're this really great Christian. What's important is if God thinks that we are being obedient to loving other people. Because, see, there's this temptation always, isn't there, to bring glory or, you know, a better word might be, to bring attention to ourselves. There's always that temptation to want people to look at us, you know. And I'm not saying that they won't. People will look at us. They will see what we're doing. But as I said, you know, we don't need to take the time to even think about that. You know, that's why I say, you know, if there is a way to stay anonymous about our giving, then we should take that path, I think. You know, if we can. If I can stay anonymous in what I'm doing, that's always better. Because then nobody is looking at me because they don't know it was me. But when we can't, that's when we need to use a little self-control. You know, instead of giving into that temptation that we all have to want people to like us and to look at us and think that we're just this awesome, amazing person, we need to make sure that what we're actually portraying to people is Jesus. You know, I have a great example that I use often, and probably it's because it's such a great example. Josh White, you know, he gave this teaching once that we watched, where he said he just likes to go up and just swipe his debit card and pay for people's stuff, you know, and not even ask for anything in return. you know, just swipe, pay for their meal, and move on about your day. You know, an even better way to do that, even, you know, more anonymously, is if you're in the drive-thru line at a McDonald's or a Dunkin' Donuts, you know, just pay for the person behind you. They're never going to know it was you. It's a great way to do it. You know, it just, and so what people, when you do that, when you are able to just completely put your ego aside and do something kind and loving for another human being, what they are going to see eventually is God. It may take you and a bunch of your other friends doing good deed after good deed for them, but eventually they're going to see God. They're not going to see you. They're going to recognize, and maybe they won't recognize it at first, but maybe they'll ask you. Maybe they'll ask you, why are you doing this? And see, that's the kind of attention that I think we should want from people. Not praise and adoration, but them coming and saying, you know, Pastor Mike, why are you being so nice to me? Because I love Jesus. He loves you. It's that simple. You know, no fancy strings attached, just, I love Jesus. Just wanted to bless you, man. Like, it's actually a really simple formula. A lot for making converts to Christianity. It's a lot more effective than, you know, when I was younger, people had me convinced that the way you tell people about Jesus is you run around and tell them about how bad their sin is and that they need Jesus and that will somehow, you know, convince them to follow Christ. But I like this formula better. Be kind to people and eventually they'll ask you about Jesus. In fact, that's one of the, you know, one of the myths that I want to debunk in this series on Friday evenings is this idea that fear of hell is a something that God wants to use to motivate people. I don't think that's at all true. I think he much prefers that we come to Jesus because we've discovered that he loves us. But that's for another time. The point of verse 4 here is that self-glorification, okay, listen to this because it's important. The point of verse 4 is that self-glorification, when we do things for other people so that we can get praise from our peers, will only bring us the rewards that we receive in this world. When we do good things so that people will notice what we're doing and think we're a good person, the only rewards that we receive is the very praise that we were seeking from other people. That's it. That's where it's going to stop. But glorifying God in our giving will bring about heavenly rewards from our Father in heaven that you can't even imagine. You know? And I don't know about the rest of you, but I would much rather when I get to heaven, I would much rather the conversation I have with God be about how selfless I was in my giving instead of having a conversation about, well, you know, Mike, why did you always do all these things so that people would like you? Why, you know, why didn't you do them for me? I don't want to, you know, the conversations that we have with our earthly parents when we know we've disappointed them are hard. Can you imagine having those kind of conversations with God? You know, where he's like, you know, I was really disappointed when you did that. And we have to, you know, have that conversation. See, when our giving glorifies God with no thought whatsoever of taking credit, he takes notice of what we're doing and he rewards us in kind. Sometimes those rewards happen now, and sometimes there are things that we're building up, you know, as the Bible said, building up our treasure in heaven. You know, and so what are some of those rewards that we can receive now? Well, I think that when we're faithful to be generous with the money and the resources that we are given in this life, God takes care of our needs. I know that my brother, Pastor Harry, could tell you countless times where God has taken care of his family because he's been faithful to take care of other people. You know, and sometimes he even blesses us with things that we don't need, if you get what I'm saying. I've been playing on worship teams in churches since I was saved at the age of 14, okay? But when I was young, when I was a teenager, I had an ego. Anybody ever have an ego? I had an ego. Oh, Harry still does. I had this ego about it, you know. My idol, my guitar hero is Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. I love Jimmy Page's guitar playing. He's phenomenal. You won't find a better guitar player. We can argue that later, but you'll lose. So, you know, but that's, I was like, I want to be like Jimmy Page. I want to be awesome. And then I started to think, you know, as I got better, because I'm pretty good at playing guitar, I'm like, man, I am awesome. I'm awesome. And I had this ego, you know. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that ego was really holding me back in church, you know, on worship teams. And eventually, I had to take a step back and do some just self-reflection and realize that I'm not playing guitar. You know, if I go in my bedroom and I play guitar, that's the time to play for myself. But when I'm on a worship team or I'm in public, I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it to make a joyful noise to him, for one thing, and also to make an environment that is inviting to other people to worship him. Okay? And when I realized that, my guitar playing got a lot better and a lot more effective. And something amazing happened one time. I was on a worship team in what's now the Arnett Community Church in Arnett. It was the Presbyterian Church at the time. But I was playing on that worship team, and this lady, our worship team leader, sweet lady, you know, I had this junky old guitar that was made by a company from Galveston, Texas, called Galveston, and it just wouldn't stay in tune. And this lady, because I was so dedicated to the worship team and just being a team player and making sure that the worship music was inviting for people to just enter into worship with God, she went and bought me this, like, I don't know, $800 guitar that I now have. She just bought it for me. That's the kind of blessings that God can give you if you're just trying to please him. I would never have bought, you know, I don't have $800 sitting around to just buy a guitar. Never would have bought this guitar. And it's, you know, it's a great guitar, and it's all I'll ever need to use in this life. That's just one example. You know, there are lots of examples that I could give or other people could give where we, you know, when we're just faithful to do God's work without wanting any kind of credit, he just blesses us. He loves that because that's his heart. He loves to love on people. Okay, back to the sermon notes now that we've gone on a rabbit trail. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, and I think this is something we should all aim for, is to have the praise and favor of God be worth so much more than any human praise, adoration, or fame could ever be. You know, there's a lot of famous people in Hollywood, and I'm not saying that they're good or bad, but that kind of fame is fleeting. You know, if those folks who entertain us so well don't know Jesus, when they're gone, that's the only kind of fame they're going to have. And it's the same with us. If we don't seek God's favor before anyone else, then whatever favor we have in this life is the only favor we're going to have. And this, I will say also, we should act in all things to please God. We got Colossians 3, 23 and 24 there, Harry. Okay. Just going to scoot over there in my Bible. Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul. And if you don't know the Apostle Paul, you should get to know him. He's got a lot of great things to say. Okay. He says this, and Paul is talking in a bit different of a context. He's talking about Christian households and how they should work, but I think that it still applies to the way we give. He says, "Whatever," in verse 23, "whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving." You see, when we give to someone who needs some food or some clothing or some medicine, or they need a ride somewhere or whatever it is, it's not really them we're doing it for. We're doing it for God. You know, we have to try to keep that in the back of our minds. You know, whatever, even a mundane task like going to work at the foundry, okay? If we go to work, wherever it is we work, at the foundry or other places, if we go in there with the attitude that I'm not doing this for my boss, but I'm doing this for God, our whole attitude can change. You know, that pain in the butt coworker or boss that we thought was such a big problem can start to just be a little, you know, annoyance. Not even an annoyance, maybe just a whisper. Because we're doing our work to please God now. We're not worried about, you know, okay, maybe my boss doesn't like me, but boy, Jesus sure does, and I'm doing this for him. And if we can get, you know, to that sort of mindset where everything we do, every mundane task of our lives, washing the dishes, which I hate, you know, or doing the laundry. I don't actually mind doing the laundry. It's the folding part that I hate because I don't do it right. But if we can just get this attitude with every mundane task of life, that I'm doing this for God, everything about our lives can change. You know, we can have a whole new outlook on life. You know, that awful, awful task of washing dishes will not seem so insurmountable if we're doing it for Jesus. You know, that phone call in the middle of the night from somebody that, you know, we've been, you know, discipling that has a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction, and they're calling you for the umpteenth time asking for a ride home because they fell off the wagon again. It won't seem so annoying to be woken up at 2 in the morning if we're doing it for Jesus. You get what I'm saying? Like, if we're doing it for Jesus, we can go into all the things in life that come our way with joy. And you know what's great about it is other people that we're doing it for will take notice. You know, they'll see that now, okay, you know what? Pastor Mike, you know, I've been really giving him a hard time because, you know, I keep asking him to come, you know, bail me out of this situation or that situation. They'll start to notice that it's not bothering me to do it. I still have just as much joy as I always have at doing something for somebody else. And I think that's so, so important. You know, if people see grumpy Christians that don't ever want to be bothered to do anything for anybody else, I don't think that's sending a very good message about who Jesus is. You know, so I think, you know, we need to try to shift our focus from, okay, I'm doing this for, you know, Joe Smith down the street, to, no, I'm doing this for Jesus. And Joe Smith down the street just happens to be the person that God wants me to help today. Now, I want to caution you with that, to not be so nonchalant or uncaring that people think you're cold. You know, Jesus was able to heal people and feed people and raise people from the dead and heal the sick and all these wonderful miracles and acts of love because he did truly love people. you know. But our love for people should be a direct response to the love that we've received from Christ. Does that make sense? You know, Christ loved us so much that he died for us, that now we are so filled with love for him that it overflows into love for other people. Does that make sense? You know? So the undertone of this entire passage, I hope, is clear by now. It's our internal motivations to act on behalf of our God that are important to him, not the outcomes of our giving. However, if we're motivated to act on the behalf of our Savior, I think it's fair to say that you will most certainly be a blessing to other people and attract attention from them as Jesus did. But it'll be the right kind of attention. Okay? It'll be the kind of attention where people are wanting what you have, not the kind of attention where they want to make you their king. Does that make sense? Like, I think of the what's the one? I can't remember the name of the movie. Maybe Harry or Brenda can help me out. It's an animated film. Ice Age, that's what it is. Okay? In the one Ice Age movie, the sloth is so nice that the little critters try to make him their king. And then they try to sacrifice him to their, like, gods. So we don't want to be doing things for people in hopes that they'll make us king. But we're hoping, we do things for others in hopes that they'll ask us about our king. So what's the point that I want to leave with you today? There's three things that I want you to remember. We should give in secret. Don't make a big show of your giving. You know, don't go out of your way to make it obvious. Oh, Pastor Mike's doing a good deed today. Everybody pay attention. The second thing is be genuine. Be a genuine follower of Christ all the time. In your home life and in your public life. Just be a follower of Christ. And the third thing is give to others as if it were Jesus himself you were giving to. Okay? I'll say that again. Give to others as if it were Jesus himself you were giving to. You know, I think that if we, you know, viewed each person that we come in contact with the mindset that, you know what, this might be Jesus in disguise, it would probably change how we act completely. And it would certainly grab God's attention. Okay. Now, we're going to go to Mark chapter 12, and I want to give you this really great example that Jesus talks about as far as giving goes. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 says that Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Now, listen to this. Many rich people threw in large amounts. Okay. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." You see, the folks in that story, the rich people in that story there, they were putting money into that offering plate, large amounts, not because they wanted to really bless people. They wanted people to see, oh, look at the rich people. They're doing this really good deed. They're putting this money in there. See, that's the wrong attitude. But this poor woman, she took everything she had, and she decided to put her eggs in the Jesus basket. You know, she decided, I'm going to give to God everything that I have left, and I'm going to trust that he'll take care of me. Do you see the difference? You know, one group of people give out of their wealth to attract the attention of other people, and the other group of people give everything they have to Jesus. Just a few interesting quotes I found this morning, and we'll end in prayer. Sam Storms says, our giving is but a reflex of God's giving. I think that's true. You know, our giving, if it comes from the right motivation, is simply something we do because that's what God would have done. That's what God would do if he were physically here right now. Generosity, John MacArthur says, is impossible apart from our love of God and of his people. But with such love, generosity not only is possible, but inevitable. Meaning, you know, if we really have the love of God in our heart, giving to other people won't be, you know, just a footnote. It'll be the main story. It'll be what we do our whole lives because we love Jesus. And then John Stott writes, Christian giving is to be marked by self-sacrifice and self-forgetfulness, not by self-congratulation. And I think that's so true, you know, especially in our culture. You know, we're the culture that, the consumerism culture, right, I guess is one way to put it. We just try to get as much stuff as we can, much awesome stuff, you know, that we've lost, I think, this sense of giving up part of ourselves to help other people, you know. And not just giving up, but like forgetting about ourselves, you know. We've lost somewhere this sense of I'm not going to be concerned about my needs as much as I'm going to be concerned about my neighbor's needs, you know. Because here's the thing, and I'll just leave you with this, is if we had a bunch of people walking around Tioga County or Pennsylvania, out into the rest of the country, walking around with the attitude of I'm going to do whatever I can to help my neighbor, then guess what? I'm pretty sure that we're all going to be taken care of. You know, we won't have to worry about our own needs because they're met. You know, if you just take a look at the book of Acts in your own time and you look at the early Christian church, that's what they did. They took care of each other's needs, and so everyone was taken care of. Amen? Well, dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for your word that always teaches us and instructs us how to love you and how to love other people. And Lord, I just pray this morning that the message will be received, that people will see that it's such a blessing to our physical beings, but to our souls, if we give to others with absolutely no expectation of any kind of reward or attention or anything else, that if we just get into this mindset that I just want to give to others because I love you, Lord, and I want to bless them, then I think we'll just see lives changed. We'll see revival. We'll just see everything around us start to change. Lord, I pray that would happen. You know, it's been prophesied that a revival is going to start here in Pennsylvania, and I think that is absolutely true, Lord. So just help us to be the instruments of that through our giving, through our love for others, Lord. Just empower us to supernaturally love and give the way that you did. Lord, I pray for all of those listening, you know, those that are just visitors and those that are family at Harvest, I pray that, God, you would encourage them in this hard time where we all cannot get together physically. I know that's been hard for a lot of people, Lord, so I just pray that you bless them and encourage them. And I pray, Lord, that you would take charge over this coronavirus pandemic that we find ourselves in, and that you would just cast it into hell, and that we would be able again to meet together as family, as followers of you, Father, that you would just make a way where there seems to be no way this time, Father. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for this day, and I pray that you bless each and every one that is listened this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.